Hello, welcome. Happy Thursday. My name is Debbie Queen, and you're listening to another live recording for Confetti, the Wedding Planning Business Talk Show. Thank you for being here if you're part of the live audience. Okay, we're doing our show today because on Tuesday we did our show and I wasn't prepared and I said, let's meet again on Thursday. I'm not even as prepared as I thought I would be today, but the show must go on. Just so that you know, the show is normally recorded live on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, and here we are on Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern, but I'm happy that you're here. I see several of you are in the chat. Mona, Athena, Paula, I hope I'm saying your name correctly, Shatasha, and there are some others. I don't see the names here, but please make friends with others in the chat room. Feel free to post your Facebook URL, your website, your Twitter handle, however you would like folks to reach out and connect with you, okay? I've got a few things to share with you that I didn't get around to on Tuesday, and I thought we were going to have a much shorter show than we did, but it was great because there was a lot of conversation, some really great questions. So if you have any questions that you would like to ask, feel free to enter them in the chat room. And in the chat room, you can find on the confettiradio.com website and just select the live link, or just go to confettiradio.com/live or confettilive.com. They'll all take you to the same place, okay? So I'll try to keep my eye out for any questions. And it doesn't have to be questions. It can be comments, whatever feedback you have. And as you may have discovered, if you've been a part of the live show, a lot of the responses come from you. So I'm hosting, but it's not about me. It's always about you and your how you're working, how things are going for you in the wedding planning industry. Okay. All right. I want to jump right into a question that I got on the feedback line, the Confetti Radio feedback line. And just so you know, if you have a question, it's great. You can email in, but I love to hear your voice because it's there's good energy that way. And then you, when I can play it back, you can hear the way the question was asked originally. And the way you do that is you can go to confettiradio.com, which is the website for this show, and simply there's a phone number that you can call in, the listener feedback line, or you can select the orange button if you have a microphone attached to whatever device it is you're using to view the site, and then you can just record your message that way, and then I can play it back. Speaking of which, I want to play back a message that I got from a lady by the name of, making it up now, Miss Johnny Miller. I had to put Miss because if I didn't put the Miss, I would have forgotten and thought it was a gentleman. But I will tell you, she left the voicemail message while she was listening to the show. So you'll hear me in the background running up my mouth as usual. But let's see if you can hear what Miss Johnny Miller has to say.
I have a question, and the question is, how do you get into a hotel to do a wedding? What is the steps that you need to take to get into a wedding? And also, I would like to know, how can you start get a list of vendors that will work with you in your business? Those are the two questions I have in mind. One, how do you go about getting into a hotel, into their facilities to do a wedding? And the second one is, how do you go about getting a list of vendors that can work with you and your business? Thank you.
Okay. I hope you heard that. Probably heard me in the background too. So Miss Johnny Miller asked two questions. How does she get into a hotel to do a wedding? And then her second question was, how does she develop a list of vendors? So let's tackle the first one. And as always, share what information you have, your feedback. But, you know, I've said for a long time now that wedding vendors, other vendors, are really the key to getting your wedding business off the ground. They're out there doing weddings just like you are. But because a lot of couples don't see the need for our services as wedding planners, it's harder for them we will probably do less weddings than, say, a photographer or a caterer or a limo company. So it stands to reason that you want to make connections with those types of businesses, those people, so that they can, and it's not for that sole reason. Number one, you need to refer vendors to your clients because they're going to expect that since you're a wedding planner, that you know who does what in your area when it comes to weddings. So you need to develop a relationship for that reason. But also, the mere fact that they're out there doing weddings, it's a good thing for them to know who you are so that when they come across a client who needs your services, or sometimes doesn't even realize they need your services, they can refer business to you. It's a really great way to get your wedding business off the ground. So the question that Miss Johnny Miller left, notice I'm saying her first and last name, is how does she get into a hotel? So this is a venue. When she's saying get into a hotel, I think what she's getting at perhaps is how does she become a preferred vendor? And a preferred vendor, as the name suggests, is who would the hotel come to? Who would they utilize? Which vendors will they recommend to their clients? Now, with a hotel, it's a little different depending on the level of service the hotel provides, because a lot of times when you're getting your clients, when folks are getting married at a hotel, you're getting a whole package, the catering, rooms, and the hotel normally has a connection with who they're bringing in, photographers and videographers, musicians. Although many hotels will have a coordinator on site, like the Marriott has a wedding consultant program, if you're a professional wedding planner and know what you're doing, many hotels will welcome you because a lot of times they don't want to hold the bride's hand for things that aren't happening within the hotel. So if the hotel is providing everything, then it makes sense a lot of times to the bride and to the hotel that they just work with whoever that salesperson is, who that person is usually on the sales team. However, if they're not providing full service or they prefer to have you there, then it stands to reason that they want to make the connection. And what I've discovered with hotels is you really just have to earn your dues. It's not just a matter of walking in and saying, I'm a wedding planner, you know, please let your clients know. They need to know for sure firsthand that you are going to make them look good and that you are going to make their lives a little easier. So my response is it's not going to happen overnight. You sort of have to build and develop that relationship. Whenever you're meeting a vendor, whether it's a venue or a vendor, I always try to go in from the standpoint that I want to learn what it is that they are doing. I'm not going in there to say, hey, I'm Debbie, I'm a wedding planner, this is what I'm doing. I always want to look at it from, approach it in the manner that I just want to learn more about what services you provide so that I can refer you to my clients. So when you go in from that point of learning, it's just, what happens is it's sort of like the law of reciprocity. They then want to know about you. So without you even having to say so, the conversation at some point will turn over to, so tell me a bit about what you do, Debbie, or tell me what it is that you do as a wedding planner, you know, Johnny. So that's the approach. But again, I know my experience is that hotels want to know that you are in it for the long haul because wedding planning has a pretty low barrier of entry. A lot of wedding planners come and then they go. So the hotel wants to know that you're going to be around also. So you have to sort of prove what it is that you're doing. Testimonials will carry a lot of weight with hotels. But I found that the other vendors that can that know and have seen you operating firsthand, that's a really good way to get in with a hotel, especially if the vendor is already on that hotel's preferred list. Because if you are a preferred vendor, you are going to refer other vendors who are in that same category, who are in your league. So definitely, I would say, Johnny, is to go in and talk to the hotels, and you want to learn as much as you can about them. But you need to come off as a professional. I'm not suggesting that you're not, but you need to come in. You come in with your A game, because again, hotels usually have that higher standard. And I'm not saying other venues and vendors may not, but absolutely has been my experience with the hotels. Getting in on their preferred list, again, is just that demonstration of what it is that you're doing. And it may be, you know, this may be the one time that I might recommend. Usually I'm not a proponent of lowering fees or doing free weddings. But if you know someone who's getting married at a hotel, or one of your vendors have a job at a hotel that you want to be a part of, I would suggest that you contact that vendor, or if you have a relationship with the client, is to be a part of that event so that the hotel can see you in action firsthand. And even if you are not there as the paid planner, but you are helping another vendor who is there, they are observing that and they can see that. And then you can say, when you go back and meet with them, yeah, I attended the event, the Smith Johnson wedding that happened here last month. It was great. And that just solidifies who you are and what you're doing. So that would be my suggestion. Let me see if there's any other feedback in the chat room. Athena say networking grows your business, of course. And she goes on to say, the more vendors and venues you know, the more name recognition you will have. Yes, absolutely. It sets you apart. Shatasha's agreeing. So true. I'm working on meeting as many vendors as I can right about now. Yeah, definitely. Because we cannot do this wedding planning thing just from being at home and being on your computer. You have to get out there. And I know a lot of times when you're new, you're not quite sure where to start. Just start with the vendors. Go out there and meet with them. And think of your vendors as your practice client meetings, because you will then learn what it is that you need to say about your business, how to say that succinctly, how to say that in a way that gets a positive reaction. And maybe trial and error. You'll soon learn what works, and by the reaction that you get when you say and describe what it is that you do, then the positive reaction lets you know that, okay, when I meet with prospects, this is how I'm going to describe what I do. So you use that as your learning, as part of your learning curve, is to go out and meet vendors. But again, always approach it from you learning what it is that you can about them and leaving you your introduction for the end part. You know, it's like when you go to a cocktail party, you go to an event, hopefully you're not just talking about me. You want to learn what it is that other person has to say, because we all really want to talk about ourselves when we meet other people. So it's no different. And again, you will get a chance to talk about you either, you know, towards the end of that conversation or when they ask you questions about your business and you respond. And of course, when you do your follow-up, I hope you're following up, when you send a thank you note for them taking the time to meet with you, then you can get a chance to send your information, you know, your business card, your letterhead, your stationery, and your welcome kit, your whatever information you have, you can share with them at that point. And that gives you another chance to let them know how professional you are. Athena mentions, I always ask for the preferred list wherever I go. That way I can start that relationship. That makes perfect sense. That's an excellent point, Athena. And that's how simple is that. So after you meet with them, just ask if you go to every venue that you go to, each venue, and actually for each vendor, you know, it's sort of a variation of that question. Who else would you recommend that I meet? I always ask that question. Sometimes I forget, but I've learned now that I've got to ask, you know, I really enjoyed meeting you. Who else would you recommend in our area that I talk to? Who really knows what's going on with weddings? And even if you for yourself already have a list, see who it is that they're recommending. You can't possibly know everyone that's doing weddings. Not everyone's advertising. Not everyone's doing a grand job with marketing. And some of the best kept secrets with regard to vendors and venues aren't advertising anywhere at all. You know, some people just think, oh, I'm just going to rely on word of mouth. And if someone has an event there, they'll recommend someone. And some people just, you know, some venues, some vendors just like it that way. They feel they've got a steady flow of business. So if each vendor that you meet, you make it a point to ask who else they work with or who else they know, your list will develop very quickly, very quickly. And just remember to keep in touch with vendors and venues once you meet them, if you truly enjoyed the exchange of the conversation that you had with them. And I hope maybe I've answered the other part of Johnny's question, which was, how do you develop a list of vendors? Just doing what I suggested. But, you know, set a goal for yourself. Decide how many vendors you want to meet each week. You know, can you meet one a week, two a month? But just stick with that. Just make a point to go out there and I'm going to meet. And you can do it in the sense, in a way, one way to do it is say, okay, this month, we're in the month of May, I want to go out and meet florists. And then just pick a few florists and make, you know, go out and introduce yourself and let, but again, it's to learn what it is that they do. If you can get three vendors for each category, you're doing really well. It's amazing to me how many wedding planners don't have a vendor list. You know, they're setting up their website, getting their packages together, but haven't made an attempt to go out and meet vendors. And you cannot, when you're setting up a business, although you have steps to follow, it may not be a situation where, okay, I'm going to do this, then this, then this. Sometimes you're going to have to do some of that multitasking thing. So while you're setting up your business, you're going out there and meeting vendors. Don't let the fact that your website's not up or your business cards aren't printed, don't let that be a reason for you not meeting a vendor. Well, business cards maybe, because you want to give them something. But, you know, I think I mentioned a couple of shows ago, you can get a short code. You can with the texting service that allows you to just, when someone meets you and they say, you know, you meet with a vendor, say, do you have a business card? If you don't have a business card for whatever reason, it really isn't an excuse for not having business cards though. You can say, yeah, I've got one thing, you know, one step better than that. Do you have your cell phone? Who doesn't have their cell phone? Just text the word Debbie, Debbie, to this number, you know, whatever it is, and whatever short code it is that you come up with, and then you can set that system up. Most SMS, which is the type of service that I'm referring to, will give you the opportunity to get an instant reply via text. And that instant reply can be your name, your phone number, and your email. And it makes sense that that information is right there in their cell phone. They don't have to write it down. They don't have to transfer it. It's already there, and they can just save it in their phone. So that's just one way of people getting your information. But I digress, slightly, but you know, you have your business cards, but if not, the reason I mention that is that there are other ways for people to get your information, but don't let those things hold you back. But business cards are so inexpensive. You can print, even if it doesn't have your logo or doesn't have all, you know, your everything is not quite ready, I would suggest still go out there and meet vendors. Just the idea is that you keep in touch and let them know, I'm still in the process of setting things up, but I just really, about this meeting is for me to learn more about you. And just go that angle. Try not to put off meeting vendors. You'll be surprised how quickly a vendor will send you business. Athena's saying another great way is to go to networking events that aren't necessarily wedding related. It's about how many people know your name. I have found great success with referrals from real estate mixes. That's a great point. I like that idea a lot, to go to events. I know we tend to stick to wedding industry events, but there are a lot of local events that you can, local groups that you can be a part of. I just finished uploading new tutorials to the Wedding Business Guide, which is the site that I created to help you start your own part-time wedding planning business. And one of the tutorials is specifically about that point, Athena, where you can, ways to go out there and just, it's, you know, the title, I think, is Broaden Your Network. So a lot of civic groups, there are a lot of local groups that are just for women, groups that are for certain minorities, groups that are for certain folks, you know, people who are in a certain, not just in a certain industry, but in a certain community. So be a part of those groups. And if you are trying to get, if you want to get in communication with people who are influencers in your area, just remember that a lot of those folks don't belong to their industry associations, but they belong to a lot of the civic associations. So they may be a part of the Lions Club or the Rotary Club, but they may not be a part of the association that's associated with their industry. So just by being a part of a civic group, you may actually start meeting people that you normally would not have if you'd only restricted yourself to being part of the wedding industry associations. Do you get what I mean? So you never know where that next lead is coming from. And the whole point for you should be that when someone is getting married, especially if you have a niche, that you are the person that they think of. And I'm willing to guess, although there may be several wedding planners in your area, I'm guessing not many wedding planners are part of groups outside of the wedding industry. It's just not something that a lot of us think of to do. We want to be part of Association of Bridal Consultants. We want to be a part of ISIS. But there are a lot of other groups and associations you can be associated with, that you can be a part of. So just keep that in mind. Shatasha's responding to Athena. Thanks for this, Athena. I had not thought about networking in directions other than wedding related networks. Yeah, you've got to broaden that network and get outside of that circle. If you are based at home, a lot of cities require that you sign up for a local business license. It's not required, but just by doing that, you may automatically become part of that local community's network. How many people in your area do not know that you plan weddings? It may not be obvious. So just by being a part of those groups, and even something like Toastmasters, where which is an organization, which is a great association to be a part of. And the whole point behind Toastmasters is that it helps you, what's the word? Toastmasters, and I'm not getting the right word, right? To improve your speaking when you're speaking in front of people. And a lot of us have a fear of speaking in front of others, but Toastmasters encourages you to do that. So you'll get a chance, A, to practice your craft, but B, all those people in that group will now know that you are in the wedding industry, and you just never know where that next referral is coming from. Okay. All right. I'm just looking at the comments here. Athena's going on to say, network with everyone that has skin. Network with everyone that has skin. Someone knows someone who is getting married. I love that. That's fantastic. Thank you, Athena. Words to live by. I have to write that one down. Okay, so that was the, I hope, Miss Johnny Miller, I have answered your question. Please let me know if you have any other, if I need to address that any further. Shatasha's saying, thanks, Athena. Now I have to set up the LLC. Yeah, that's a good move, Shatasha. Just don't let it hinder you from whatever it is that you're doing with your business. And that's another tutorial that every time I do this, I hope you don't think I'm trying to plug, but I just did a revamp of Wedding Business Guide and broke down some of these things. So all that stuff is still fresh in my mind. Okay. Something I was going to share on Tuesday, and I think it came up on the Confetti Insiders, and Confetti Insiders is a Facebook group. You know, when you're running your wedding planning business, getting paid is what separates us from people who are just planning weddings for fun, right, as a hobby. So someone had asked about the square, and the square, if you can see it, is that little device that you can plug into your smartphone or mobile device, and it allows you to swipe credit cards. And the thing, normally to accept a credit card, you would have a merchant account, which is a special account type of account that allows you to accept credit cards and debit cards. So normally you go through a bank or a merchant company, merchant processor, is that the right term, to accept cards. I currently use a company called PowerPay. I had another company before that. Nightmare. But and the way the credit card company makes the money is that they take a percentage of each transaction and some other fees. So that percentage can range anywhere, usually around 2%, anywhere up to 4%, maybe more than that. And as I said, then, so it's a percentage of each transaction plus a fixed transaction fee. So they might take 2% out of every transaction plus 25 cents. And then there's often some other monthly charges involved. So you have to be approved for a credit for merchant account. And for the most part, I know it's based that the credit rating plays a part, but I'm going to say that I think it's relatively easy to get a merchant account, right? I'm not being selfish when I say that. So the rate, you know, is really what that's how the percentage, they call it a discount fee. Discount is not for you. It's the discount. It's the money they take out of each transaction, as I said. So the square, as you can see, is I've got it in my iPhone. It sits in my, because I also have an Android too. And then the card, can I do a pretend card? And you just swipe the card through the thing like that, right? So no matter where you are, you can use a square. PayPal is another option to do that. And PayPal recently, that's what I wanted to mention. Sorry. The square charges a flat fee of 2.75%. So you'll notice that percentage is higher than what you would probably be offered by a traditional merchant account. But that's the only thing you'll pay is that percentage, the 2.75%. That transaction fee, there are no minimums, all that stuff is gone. So it might be a good trade-off. And there's no fee for this. It just needs to link up with your business bank account. Just go into squareup.com and they send you that. So not to be outdone, PayPal, which I'm sure you're familiar with, also now has their own reader. And the PayPal, Rita, is the part of their program is called PayPal Here, H-E-R-E. And it works the same way. You apply for it and it links to your PayPal business account. And just like the Square, it sticks in the phone, which isn't doing that great with my iPhone case. But yeah, same concept. Gosh, they're real rivals. So one's a square and one's a triangle. So just wanted to share that. So that's relatively new for PayPal. So PayPal Here. If you're accepting payments via PayPal the traditional way, you can also use PayPal now has a swipe. So I may tell you something, maybe telling you something that you already know. PayPal is something I think is one way to accept payment. Personally, and this is just my personal preference, I think it should, it's one way, but it should not be the, I don't like it to be the only way to accept payment. Whenever I see a large company and their only form of payment is PayPal, again, this is my personal thing, it has a slightly less than professional feel to me. I like seeing PayPal in addition to other options. But a lot of people sign up with PayPal because either they choose not to use a credit card or they would like to make payments, but the PayPal also links to a checking account. So it doesn't mean that you have to have a credit card in order to make a payment. So any place that has, if you're going to a merchant and they accept PayPal, just know it just means that whoever's buying doesn't have to have an actual card. So that's PayPal's been around for a long time. It was originally part associated with only with eBay, but it's grown leaps and bounds. I think I was in Home Depot a couple months ago, and I had the option to pay using my PayPal account. I think that was Home Depot. So they've grown a lot. So just wanted to share that with you. Again, the PayPal has kept up with the Square. So you just go on to PayPal and apply for that, and it comes in the mail. Okay? All right. On the confetti, in what time we've got? Ooh, almost 9:30. On Confetti Insiders, there was a question from, I think it was, she's got a beautiful name, and I'm going to, Anshua. I've been a user. I have been a happy customer of Freedom Voice for many, many years now. Freedom Voice is the service that I use to take my phone calls. And Freedom Voice allows you to have either a toll-free or a local phone number for just about $10 a month. It's a virtual telephone system, which means there isn't actually a phone line, but you get a phone number that you can use and promote, and you can manage that service through your cell phone, through your landline phone, through a series of other people. It's a really great way to receive your calls and to make calls for that matter. I also use Freedom Voice for RSVP service so that if I'm going to put the phone down now, the swipe, the square, I'm getting distracted. Sorry. It also works as an RSVP service so that you can use your telephone number on your client's invitations, and with Freedom Voice, you do get a series of telephone extensions. So you can use those, you can pick an extension and use that, promote that as the RSVP reply number. So, you know, on the invitation, it will say, you know, please reply by May 20th to this number, and the phone number will be listed and an extension. And the way you do this with Freedom Voice is that you can set up what's known as Q&A, so that your callers, the callers who reply, RSVP, hear a series of prompts. So it can go something like this. Thank you for calling. This is the RSVP line for the Smith-Johnson wedding. Please say your name after the beep. Press any key when you're finished. Beep. And then person says their name. And then the next prompt will be, please indicate what your preference is for the entree. If it's beef or salmon, press any key when finished. Beep. And then they can say beef or salmon. I would choose salmon. And then the last prompt may be, I don't know, please let us know if you are number of people responding to your, who will be attending the event. I'm using bad words there, but you get my drift. And then after, you know, press any key, and then they can say two people or three people. So what that does now is that you can then, as the administrator, you can play back that the message that they've left, and you have now you're basically monitoring the RSVP service for your clients. So Anshua's question, my long-winded way of getting there, was how do you do that? And I've been doing it and just figured it was you know, I'm not going to say I figured it was straightforward. So what I'm going to do is just do a quick tutorial and a video tutorial to explain how to do that. So I just wanted to let you know. God, I took a long time to say that. So I will do that and I'll post it. I'm not sure where I'll post it, but I'll put a note out either via email or on the Facebook page as to how to do that. But it really is a great way to take calls. There are a lot of different services out there. Google Voice, I know many of you are using that. Ring Central, Grasshopper. Ring Central, Grasshopper, I think are the ones that are the most similar to that. The reason I like Freedom Voice is because it's affordable. It's less than just under $10 a month, and that includes 300 minutes, several extensions. There's hold music. You can personalize the whole music. I think you may have to pay a little extra for that. But if you have a question or you're stuck about something, you can actually call the customer service number and somebody, a live human being, will speak to you and walk you through it. That may not be a big deal for you, but I found there are very few services that I can find online where I have the option to call and speak to someone. So those are the reasons that I love Freedom Voice. But if you're interested, you can check out tryfreedomvoice.com. Okay? Athena's saying she uses line 2 and the charge is it $2.07? I'm trying to jump in on the conversation. Is line 2, Athena, are you talking about for your telephone? Is that what you're saying? And then she's talking about the swipe, the Square and the PayPal. Did I mention, I'm sorry, the Square is 2.75, I believe. And the PayPal, I think, is 2.5 is the percentage right now for the swipe. Sorry, I jumped back and forth there about the differences with accepting credit cards. So I'm jumping back again to credit cards. Sorry, it's my mind all over the place. So there's no reason for anyone to tell you that they can't. I mean, for business, it's different. You can have it and you can take the payment right then and there. But no one can tell me, you know, if they owe me money and they don't have the money right now. Oh, not a problem. Hey. Bring out the debit card. Bring out the credit card. I've got you. You can pay me right now on the spot if someone's going about, you know, trying to dodge you for paying the money they owe. But this is good. This is a good thing to have. So I try to keep my Square. I keep mine in the car, and I just got the PayPal here this week, and I'm going to keep that in the car too because almost always. If I'm out and about, I'm in my car. I have my car, so I can keep that. Because I switch purses, keeping in the purse means it'll get left behind in the wrong purse. So I just keep it in the car. Okay, just wanted to share that with you. Okay, Athena is saying line 2 is my business line. Great, it has the autoresponder and music. Okay, nice, unlimited minutes, wonderful, and forwarding service. Good. But she says, I like the RSV option with Freedom Voice. Okay. So that's good. Line 2. Is that the website, Athena? LINE, the number 2? So there are a lot of different options out there for you to utilize for your business. And if you have a resource that you would like to share, that's a great reason to give me a call. I love to talk, but I love to hear you too. So if you want to leave a resource or a comment or a question, all those things are great. Just call the listener talk back line. I don't like to leave all these numbers on the recording. So just go to confettiradio.com and leave a message. I think that'd be a great way to share. And of course you can leave a comment too. Okay. 9:34. Guess what? I'm going to wrap it up. Does anyone have any questions? Just wanted to get through another show tonight. I'm wondering if we could do another show if twice a week. The thing for me, I don't want to do the overkill thing. And I know many listeners are on the West Coast. So by having a later show, it allows others to participate if they have questions. But I don't know if I should just add that to the schedule. I've heard also from folks who are in the UK and in Australia, and that makes it difficult too. But it's just hard to do outside of just sitting in front of the microphone. 24 hours a day, it's a little difficult to do the live show. So just, you know, that's another reason to send me a note. Don't leave me here lonely. Just let me know how you'd like to interact, and we can share. Sharing is good. Sharing is caring. Had to get that in there too. The last show that we did on Tuesday, you can listen to the replay at confettiradio.com/345, I think is the number. So, I need to double check. Please hold. It's, I think it's 345 that we're up to. Oh, speaking of which, somebody asked a question about the episode numbers. Yes, 345. So confettiradio.com/345. We carried quite a few. We talked about a lot of different things. We talked about the best way to get your name out there as a wedding planner. We talked about, there was a great question about, is it possible to close the deal on the telephone? And we also talked about closing the deal in general. And then a really great topic was about, that question was asked about branding yourself. It was about putting your picture on your website and promoting it. You know, is it not being the anonymous person with your wedding business? And that developed into the question about, does race matter when a bride is looking for a professional wedding planner? Whoa, that, I mean, it was deep. I mean, and it made sense, because the whole point of what goes on, as far as I'm concerned, with confetti is to discuss everything that we encounter, as you know, when you're planning weddings for a living. So it would be nice to imagine that, you know, as long as someone likes your site, that they, you know, they're going to be interested in hiring you, or just even just having a conversation with you. So the question came up, I think it was Kamara that mentioned that she heard from a white woman who said that if she goes onto a website and sees a black planner and only black couples, that others might be hesitant to contact that planner. And I thought, and you know, that's the point. It was a valid point. So listen to episode 345 to see how, you know, how the discussion progressed on that. But it was really interesting and something that, you know, to talk about and to think about, because it's real. And it's nice to talk about things about, you know, business and getting clients. But there are some obvious things sometimes that may make you shift your feet a little bit. But, you know, it's good to talk about those things. So I'd love to hear your feedback about that episode. So just go to confettiradio.com/345. Very interesting topic. Okay. All right. I had something else today and I forgot. So much for me and my planning. I keep playing with the darn PayPal here. Let me put that down. Any questions before we leave? Oh, Shatasha's saying twice a week would be great. So maybe we'll give that a go. We'll see. The thing is, you know, as we come into wedding season, it just gets a little difficult to do the scheduling. So I don't like to schedule, you know, we're going to do a call on Thursday and then fall off and then, oh, not this Thursday. Oh, I can't do this Thursday. So let's just see how that goes. But your feedback is what I would really love to hear, to see what you would like. It's not just about me. I want to hear how we can do the kumbaya thing and get the show where it needs to be and to get the answers that we each need. Okay. All right. Athena saying, sounds like you missed out. The call, it was a good call. And, you know, it was one of those calls where I was complaining that I hadn't planned anything, and it turned out to be great because it was live. It was just what everyone was thinking. And as sometimes that's just the best flow of conversation when it isn't scripted and thought out, although it can tend to ramble on if it isn't scripted. But it was in this instance, it worked out really well. So I urge you to listen to that episode. Okay. All right. Well, 9:38, I think I'm going to head out of here, but I've got some things that I'm working on, and a couple people actually sent an email, asked about wedding business guide. There I am going on about that again, but the site is not, there's no join button, and that's because I'm updating the information on that site, but it will be up soon, and I'm looking forward to sharing some of the new information that's on there. Okay. All right. Shatasha says, I did make you think, I think she's referring to the call, and it let me know that I wasn't the only one wondering the same thing. There you go. So that's the beauty of what we do here. A lot of times the question is being asked and you're thinking exactly the same thing. So, you know, this is what I want us to do, to talk about different things that affect us. So please share your information. Tonight's show will be labeled number 346. So confettiradio.com/3/346. If you want to share the episode or listen to the replay at any point. And the links that I mentioned, like the PayPal here and Square on Square Up, I'll list those resources too. Athena mentioned Line 2, and I'll also put the tryfreedomvoice.com link on there also. Okay. Well, as always, lots of love and success, and I look forward to communicating with you hopefully next Tuesday. What's next Tuesday's date? Is it the 7th? No, that can't be right. Gosh, yeah, it's the 7th, May 7th. Time is flying. Time is flying. I hope we're out there doing what we've got to do. Just do it already. Take imperfect action. Do something for your wedding planning business if you can each day. Just a little something. Those baby steps develop into us achieving our goals, okay? Have a great evening. As always, lots of love and success. Take care.